Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hands,
and God's favor.
We're
your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
Like we've all been conditioned by calendars and dates.
I want you to hear what I'm saying.
But there's no time,
no,
like the present,
no time
to give love,
to give love
and not hate.
Just give love.
And if we could just embrace our difference, always be something.
There'll always be something.
You know, each soul has its own goal.
Greetings and welcome to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, Reality of the Creator. Thank you for joining us this morning. And you can sit back, relax, and enjoy a beautiful and most timely message from Imam Shahid Shabazz. But remember, if you have any questions or comments, push number one on your phone. Your number will show up in the studio, and we'll be glad to hear from you. And now, without any further delay, let us see what we're going to talk about today here. All right. Our summary for the show today is: Allah is the supreme inheritor of the heavens and the earth. This means that everything Allah created will pass away. People we once did not exist. Then Allah gave us life. So this tells us that when we did not exist, that was a form of death. Also, if you think people, Allah is saying he created life from a state of death into life. That is what he's saying. He created life from a state of death into life. So, life in this world is created by Allah from nothing. And Allah says in his final revelation, the Holy Quran, that everything he created in this world will turn back to nothing. Allah says the things of this world are nothing but goods and chattels of deception. So the good of this world is not in material things, because material things are not real. They are only a test of our faith in the unseen world. They are only a test of our faith, of Allah's faith in Allah and belief in the unseen. We don't see the air we breathe, but we know there is something, some power greater than the things we see, keeping us alive. And people, Allah says in the Quran that all the good that happens to people comes from Allah. And Allah says that all the bad that happens to people comes from themselves. So people, if you want to stop all this evil in your life and this world, stop following your will or ways and come back to Allah's will and ways, which is all good at all times. People, this is heaven and earth. As you can see, we have for you a beautiful and wonderful discussion today brought to us by Imam Shahid Shabazz. And we want to, without any further delay, bring on Imam Shahid Shabazz. Mrs. Palmer seems to want to act up with me today. Can you hear me, Ma'am Shahisha Boss? I said, Micah. Assalamu alaikum. I seem to have a problem getting into them, Shabazz. I believe. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Can you hear me, brother?
Yes.
All right. I had a problem connecting there for a minute. You're on the air now, and we're waiting to hear from you.
All right, we first of all want to give all praises to the supreme creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that put us to sleep last night, and then the one that took life out of our body while we were asleep, and the one that put life back into our body to give us another day and another opportunity. As you said in the beginning, to use whatever we got here and start with ourselves to prepare for his eternal world to come soon, very soon now in the hereafter. And with that said, we'll open with the opening prayer of the Holy Quran. And this is a universal prayer for all people. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, was the last prophet for all people, all humanity. So this prayer is a universal prayer, and it's the prayer, really, of all the prophets and all the messengers of Almighty Allah. Peace be upon them all. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina أنت عليهم غير مغضوب عليهم والضالين آمين. We just said in English, translated out of the Arabic of the Quran, with Allah's name, the Merciful, Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the God of Univolver, the Judge and Sustainer of all the worlds, the most gracious, the most merciful. Master, ruler of the day of judgment. Via alone do we seek for help. And we ask Allah's help because we are helpless without Allah against our own evil and the evil of this world. We ask Allah's help and we ask Allah to guide us on his straight path. See, the path to Allah is straight. There's no curves and crooks. It's a straight way. And the quickest way to your destination is a straight way. You turn off, you make curves, it's going to take you much longer. And you might not be able to get back on the path. So you don't want to, once you, Allah bless you on this straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim, you want to strive to stay on that path and ask Allah if you, and cry, beg Allah, I mean cry physically too, and beg Allah to protect you from going astray off this straight path. Because when you go astray off his straight path, Allah says you enter the hellfire. Every time you go astray, Allah says you enter the hellfire. And at the end of your life, when you die, and you're resurrected from the judgment, if you have been off the path of Allah doing ungodly things, Allah says your abode will be the hellfire eternally. I mean, I added a little more to the fatah, but it was necessary because Allah put it in my soul to say. We want to first start off here with the 99 attributes of Allah. First of all, beginning this here big, beautiful post I have of the 99 attributes of Allah. This is the only way Muslims, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Hindu, and all the sects in those religions This is the only way all people, all people in the world, or all people in the human race, this is the only way they can purify their faith in Allah and be fit, first of all, to serve Allah in this world. See, you can't even serve Allah until you are clean and pure. This is why we wash 5 times a day for prayer. Because cleanliness is next to what? Godliness. So if you ain't clean, you can't come before Allah. And Allah, I'm not just talking about the physical cleanliness. Most important of all, he's talking about the cleanliness of your heart and your soul. Because Allah said he's given us clothing to cover our shame. That means to cover our naked body. But he said clothing of righteousness is the best. If we only but knew. And you see many Muslims, the man told Friday, he said, y'all wear the clothes. Y'all go through the rituals of Islam. You make hajj. You fast during the month of Ramadan. You make umrah. You go through all of the things. You give in charity. No, he said, no, you don't, because there's Muslims that spend you. He said, and you hold up money. And you see your brothers and sisters around the world and in this country suffering, and a lot of you got lots of money, and you just act like they don't even exist. And you say you're believing in Allah. And Allah, the Most High, say you're not a true mu'min, believer in Him, Allah, until you work for your brother, but you work for yourself. And not just, excuse me, and not just work for your brother, what you want for yourself. I mean, actually, worship on Allah, when you say worship on Allah, that's an action. That saying carries a certain actions, and all of those actions are good. So you can't say you just worship on Allah, and just because you utter some words and not think that you got to have righteous actions to confirm your faith in Allah. Because that's the only way anybody knows you got faith in Allah, is through your actions. There's a certain actions of believing in Allah. And those actions are righteous actions. And most importantly of all, even with the righteous actions, if we see a true believer in the Creator Allah, their intentions must be to please Allah and not to please themselves or to please anybody else. Everything that was created for the pleasure of the Creator, His good pleasure. And in so doing, when things please their Creator, they get the pleasure back from Him, which raises their spirit, their soul, the human being that is, raises our spirit, this our soul, above our flesh desires, our carnal flesh desires, and we will get trapped in this evil world. Allah say this whole world is the root of all evil. So we say, Kulhu Allah hu ahad, Allah hu samad, Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. Say, Allah is one Allah. Allah is the eternal. Allah is the absolute. He's the cause of all that exists. Allah begets not. And neither is Allah begotten by anybody. And there is nothing Allah created that could be compared with Allah. That's called Surah Al-Ikhlas in the Quran. And Ikhlas means the purity of faith. You can't purify your faith until you only worship the one Creator unseen. You can't see Him, like the Sufa said, but you breathe the air and you got life in your body. Good or bad people, the life in them come from Allah. That's Allah's life in them. Even if you're bad, that's still the life of Allah in you. that's giving you this opportunity on this planet. He's planning it up. He created you. Like the sister said, he gave you life when you didn't have no life. Everybody. So next, we just want to read something here that's very important. And we if we got any guests, I'll give way to them. But I want to read this here off of the 99 attributes of Allah. Allah said in the Holy Quran, his final revelation, Allah said, remember me, and I shall remember you. And Allah said, be grateful unto me, and don't deny faith. Do not deny faith in me. Allah said, there is no deity to be worshipped except Allah. Allah's are all the most beautiful names or qualities. Allah says no nation can outstrip its term, nor can they lag behind, meaning that no nation can exist no longer than Allah wanted to exist. Allah won't destroy before its time, and it can't be hastened. The time can't be hastened. In other words, Allah, he got his own time that he's going to give a nation or a world in which to come back to his straight path, to come back to his justice, to come back to his righteousness. And after that term is up, that term, the people, that nation is out of here. They are no more. They don't exist no more. They're out of here as if they never existed. And that nation can't lag behind, meaning that when it's time for Allah to destroy it, it can't stay no longer. It's gone. It's got to go right then. So with that said, I just want to start off slow like that. We will say that life in this world is fleeting. It's very short. Allah called us our life in this world a fleeting life. Well, you know what I think about when I think about fleeting, the blink of an eye. So Allah said we're here only like the blink of an eye. So what time do you have to waste in vanities, people? Muslims, Christians, Jews, especially religious people, or people in religion, you're all supposed to be the example for other people. And you can't tell people in religion today from people who just outright disbelieve in Allah, period. You can't tell why. Because of the conduct of most Muslims, most Christians, most Jews, their conduct is that of disbelievers. Yet they say out of their mouth, I believe, and Allah say, in my conclusion from there, Allah say to the Muslims, all Muslims all over the world, he say, do you read my book, Quran, where I've given you clear guidance to address every affair in your life from your birth to your death as human beings to keep order and justice and peace on my earth? Do you read my beautiful clear book of Revelation, final Revelation, and you enjoy all the good in my book on other people, other Muslims, other people, but yet you don't practice obeying my words yourself? He said, when you do this, you have no understanding of his reality at all. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum asalam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of the Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. Thank you, our listening audience, for joining us this morning. And as you can see, we have again a quite timely discussion, I'll say. Quite timely discussion, so we won't be confused, people, as to who we are and whose we are. And who is the inheritor, the one who controls all things, all the heavens and the earth, okay? We want to make that clear to let you know that man is not in charge. It is the Almighty Creator, the Almighty God Allah, who's in charge. And we need to understand that, because most of us want to believe for some reason that we have some kind of magic powers or something that puts us in charge of everything. And this is why we have all this conflict and confusion going on. So now, people, I want to bring to you one of our guests for today. We have the 404-247-4713, I believe. Let me put my glasses on. I don't know why I try to see something without my glasses here. Okay, 4713. And that is our beautiful Imam, I believe, from Atlanta, Georgia, Imam Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, sister? How are
fine,
you, Imam?
I'm fine, brother Imam. I hope you are and your family and the community of the Atlanta area.
Alhamdulillah, shukran. A few years back, I had a doctor when I lived in Washington, D.C. area. I went to a holistic doctor, and he told me that a cure for every disease that man will ever have until the day of judgment has already been placed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the earth. And it's our responsibility to find that cure. And during those times, I used to think about my mother. My mother used to know different things to do that the old folks did to solve different problems. And not only did I understand that that was possible, but I also understood that the social evils and the evils that are put on us by the shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already put cures for those problems in the Quran. So the title of what I'm going to talk about today is What Allah Says About Racism. And this is also available on video at the Inner City Voice for Dawah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Behold, we have created day and night as two signs. We have deprived the sign of night of light and made the sign of day bright to enable you to seek the bounty of your Lord and to judge months and years. Thus we have made everything clear and unmistakable." This is Surah Isra. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites man to study the wisdom that underlies variety in the world so that you won't get confused and long for boring uniformity. In fact, the whole system is based on a variety and a range of things. For example, let us take the case of the signs of day and night. You see these opposite things daily in your life. If you consider the underlying wisdom, you find that without this variety, there would hardly be any activity in the world. Likewise, great wisdom lies in the creation of people with different temperaments, different thoughts and inclinations. If Allah had made all men righteous by birth, or did not create disbelievers and wicked people, and left only believers and peaceful people in the world, the purpose of man's creation could not have been realized. Therefore, it is wrong to desire that there should only be day and no night. The righteous thing is that these people who have got the light of guidance should exert their utmost to remove the darkness of non-guidance. Excuse me. It is their duty that if they find darkness like that of night, they should pursue it like the sun, so that the light of guidance should reappear. Allah further says, "O mankind, we created you from one man and one woman, and then divided you into nations and tribes so that you may know one another. Indeed, the most honorable among you in the sight of Allah is he who is the most pious of you. Surely Allah is all-knowing, all-wise." This is from Surah Al-Hujurat. In this verse, the whole of mankind has been addressed to inform it of the great evil that has always caused universal disruption in the world. That is, the prejudices caused by race, color, language, country, and nationality. On account of these prejudices, leaders in every age have rejected the humanity of all the people and drew around himself small circles and regarded those born from within those circles as his people and those outside them as the others. The circles have been drawn on the basis of unplanned birth circumstances and not on rational, educational, and or moral ground. In some cases, their basis is the accident of being born in a particular family, tribe, race, or in some particular geographical region, or in a nation having a particular color or speaking a particular language. The discrimination between one's own people and others is not only confined to this, that those who are looked upon as one's own people are shown greater love, forgiveness, and cooperation than others. But this discrimination has assumed the worst forms of hatred, contempt, and tyranny. New philosophies and religions have been invented for it. New rules of law made, and new moral principles framed, so much so that nations and empires have made this distinction a permanent way of life with them and practiced it for centuries. The Jews on this basis view the children of Israel as the chosen people of Allah, and even in the practice of their religious rites, looked upon non-Jews as inferior to the Jews in rights and rank. This discrimination also gave birth to class distinctions among the Hindus, according to which superiority of the Brahmins was established. All other human beings came to be viewed as inferior and unclean, and these are cast into the depths of disgrace and degradation and made untouchable. Every person can see for himself, even in this, the 21st century, what atrocities have been committed against black people in Africa and America, on account of the lies told on Allah, making a distinction between the white and the black in the biblical story of Noah, where his son Ham was described as being black-skinned and cursed. The treatment that the Europeans meted out to the red Indian race in America and to the weak nations of Asia and Africa had the same concept underlying it. They thought that the life and property and honor of all those who had been born outside the frontiers of their own land and nation were lawful for them. And they had the right to plunder and take them as their slaves and exterminate them if need be. The worst examples of how the nationalism of the Western nations has turned one nation against the other and made it their bloodthirsty enemy have been seen in the wars of the recent past and even in the present time with the massacre of darker-skinned people in the Middle East. In particular, what was made clear by the racism of Nazi Germany and their concept of the superiority of the Nordic race was the cause of World War II. One can easily see how devastating this era is and the serious necessity for reform that this verse of the Quran was revealed. In this brief verse, Allah draws the attention of all mankind to three basic truths. One, the origin of all of you is one and the same. Your whole species has sprung up from one man and one woman. All your races that are found in the world today are in fact branches of one initial race that started with one mother and one father. In this process of creation, there is no basis whatsoever for the divisions and distinctions in which you have involved yourselves because of your false notions. Allah alone is your creator. Different men have not been created by different gods. You have been made from one and the same substance. It is not so that some men have been made from some pure and superior substance and some other men from some impure and inferior substance. You have been created in one and the same way. It is also not so that different men have been created in different ways. You are the offspring of the same parents. It is not so that in the beginning there were many human couples which gave birth to different populations in the different regions of the world. I'm going to stop there, but as I said, you can see this on video at Inner City Voice for Dawah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. We thank you, Brother Imam, because we living in a time that, you know, in order to move forward, I want to say briefly, you must know the past. When you go to a psychiatrist and they say you got mental issues, the first thing that psychiatrists do is to trace your history. Am I right?
Yeah.
He traced your history. Why would he trace your history? Because in tracing your history, he will best or she will best know how to administer the right type of knowledge or if medication also to you. So we're dealing with the spiritual life of humanity. In order to move forward, we study the life of all the prophets and messengers of Allah in the Quran. Allah say the number one message they brought to their people when the world was in corruption like this world is today was La ilaha illallah or Tawheed. Tawheed is the concept of the oneness of the Creator. I was blessed to make a CD called The Oneness of the Creator, The Oneness of Creation, and The Oneness or the Unity of the Human Spirit. And the brother, so you was very right. The only thing that can destroy evil is unity, the unity of the Creator. Because evil's chief weapon against, as you said, the human race is divide and conquer. As long as we're united in the worship of our Creator, Allah, evil cannot touch us. Allah will protect, our Creator will protect us. And he says this over and over again in the Holy Quran, this final revelation. So, you know, we appreciate that because most black people in America and around the world, especially in America, especially among the Muslims who are supposed to have the knowledge about what you just said and implement that, and that would make a big difference right here in America, but most of them are not. Racism is the root cause of oppression throughout the whole world. Racism is the number one oppression of people, because when you divide the people, as you say, and you say, like right now, they say in America, and this is around the world, 1% of the rich control the 99% of the world's population of people, the governments, rulers of the world. Small little class, 1% controls all the wealth and the resources the Lord has given to all of us when we all can live a good life in this world as well as in the next world. They are holding these things back so that others will suffer and just die out. Not only are they doing what you just said, Brother Imam, they're putting poisons, the government of America and all around the world, they're poisoning the air. They're poisoning the food. And it's called population control so they can exterminate the majority of the people in the world's population. So racism is not just between black and white. Racism is a humanitarian problem. But you are right. I say, and people can disagree, and we can talk about it right now. I say what you said, that lie about black people being cursed to be this way because of the son of a prophet Noah, that lie has kept the light of people looking down at the darker people as inferior to them all over the world for thousands of years. And until that stops, and we understand that the Creator Allah say in the Quran, He created all humanity equal. And He endowed all of us with certain inalienable rights. The rights to freedom, justice, and equality. That's those are the rights. We're supposed to be free. We're supposed to be just with each other. And we're supposed to understand that we got the same mother and father as you said. And we all are equal in the presence or the sight of Allah. As-salamu alaykum. I'm finished.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. If I may, I go on to the second basic truth that Allah draws our attention to, which is that in spite of being one in origin, it was natural that you should be divided into nations and tribes. All the men on the earth could not belong to one and the same family. With the spread of the race, it was foreseeable that countless families would arise, and then tribes and nations emerged from the families. Similarly, it was foreseeable that after settling in different regions of the earth, there should be differences of colors, features, languages, and ways of living among the people. And it was also natural that those living in the same region should be closer in affection, and those living in remote regions not so close. But this natural difference never demanded that characteristics of inequality, of high and low, of noble and unkind should be established as its basis. There is no concrete evidence that one race should claim superiority over another. The people of one color should look down upon the people of other colors, and that one nation should take preference over the other without any other reason than appearance. This is from the shaitan. The people who follow this kind of thinking of looking down on others because I'm me and you're you and I'm better than you, this comes directly from the shaitan. When
that's right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah told the angels to bow down to Adam, the man, they all bowed down, but Iblis refused to do so. He said, I'm better than him. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, we commanded the angels, bow down, bow yourselves down to Adam. All bowed, but Iblis refused to do so. He grew proud and joined the defiers. And you notice that the racists that are against the people of color are all arrogant and full of false pride. Who is Iblis? Iblis is the name of the jinn who disobeyed Allah and refused to bow down to Adam as a symbol of submission to him and his offspring, and asked Allah to grant him the opportunity to tempt mankind up to the last day. He is also called Ash-Shaytan, Satan. He is not merely an abstract force of evil, but is a being with his own personality like that of man. He was not an angel, as is mistakenly understood, but is one of the jinn who form a distinct
right.
species of their own, which is separate from
that's
the
right.
angels. Allah
that's
further
right.
says, remember, when we said to the angels, bow down before Adam, they bowed down, but Iblis did not. He was one of the jinn.
That's right.
So he chose the way
yes.
of disobedience to his Lord's command. What would you then discard me and make him and his offspring your patrons? Though they are your enemies, what a bad substitute it is that these workers of evil are taking. We get
that's right.
One of the you mentioned earlier about the 99 names of Allah. One of those names is Ar-Razak. Ar-Razak means the provider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided everything that man and every one of his creatures needs and desires to live a healthy and peaceful life.
That's right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a woman with breasts so that when she has a baby, the baby has a source of food with the mother.
That's right.
He has provided us with bananas and mangoes and eggs and meat to eat and fish. He has provided us with everything. And now we're going to trade what he says. We're going to refuse to obey him when he tells us something that's good for ourselves, because all the good comes from Allah. The bad comes from mankind.
That's right.
So we're gonna trade our allegiance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the source of all good, and give our allegiance to Shaitan and call me better than you and you better than her. This is crazy people do this. From the words of the text, it appears that Iblis was not alone in refusing to bow down before Adam.
That's right.
But a group of the jinn also was bent upon disobedience. Iblis has been particularly mentioned because he was their chief who led the rebellion. But this
verse can also
be translated as he was of the disobedient. In this case, it would mean that there already existed a group of rebellious and disobedient jinn who were full of false pride, and Iblis belonged to it. The word shayateen in the Quran has generally been used for these jinn and their species. And wherever there is no basis for taking shayateen to imply men, these same jinns, Satans, are implied. If I may, I'd like to read the third truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to in his sayings about racism. The only basis, number three, is the only basis for superiority and excellence that there is or can be between one man and another man is that of moral excellence. As regards birth, all men are equal, for their creator is one. The substance of creation is one. The way of creation is one. And they are descended from the same parent. Moreover, a person's being born in a particular country, nation, or clan is unplanned. Therefore, there is no rational ground on account of which one person may be viewed as superior to the other. The real thing that makes one person superior to others is that one is more God-conscious, a greater avoider of evils, and a follower of the way of piety and righteousness. Such a man, whether he belongs to any race, is a citizen of any nation or any country, is valuable. However, one who is the reverse of him in character is an inferior person, whether he is black or white, or born in the east or the west. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Thank Allah who has removed from you the stain of ignorance and its arrogance. O people, men are divided into classes. The pious and righteous are honorable in the sight of Allah, and the sinful and vicious are disgusting in the sight of Allah. Whereas all men are the children of Adam, and Adam had been created by Allah from clay." Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you very much, brother Imam. That knowledge and wisdom, hikmah, wisdom of our Creator, that you have been blessed to present to us today is very, very necessary. Because we have a president right now. Excuse me. I'm a little hoarse. Bear patient with me, if you will, people. I appreciate it. We have a president right here in the United States that's one of the most racist presidents that ever been in this country, the president, and one of the most racist leader. He is the most racist leader in the whole world because America is the leading nation in the world. So by him being the most racist leader in the world, he and his constituents, they come to a place in New York City called the United Nations. And these few people are plotting, planning how they're going to destroy the majority of people in all their nations. And the people that they are trying to destroy, as you said, Brother Imam, all over the world first, is the darker skinned people. And they use that lie told by the Jews, the pale-skinned Jews and Gentiles. They use that lie that we was cursed by our creator but because Noah's son looked at him and he was naked and he was drunk and Allah cursed us to be black and to be subservient to light-skinned people. So that lie is a devastating lie. And as long as, people, the Quran, the knowledge in the Quran will destroy it. It will eliminate that lie. It will bring back the unity and justice you were just talking about. But we have to go back in time as Muslims and look at the life example of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his followers. Allah said they were the best generation of not only Muslims, but human beings. And their what? Moral excellence and their moral pursuit to please their creator, Allah, and to work for the unity and love and justice of humankind, which they did, and they were successful by Allah. And that's why we got even justice, even some sense of justice and law and order now. It comes from Islam. It comes from the last prophet that Allah raised up 1,400 years ago. And today, in my conclusion, if you get all the scholars today, you can look it up on the computer also. You look up all of the most influential people that's ever been created by the Creator in this world, and at the top of the list, the name Muhammad Mustafa ibn Abdullah is first, number one. So they're saying that this man, he's the number one cause of goodness, justice, and righteousness being spread all over the world so all humanity could benefit, like the man said, from the goodness and the justice and of the Creator. Because all good, as you said, come from him. I had that in my notes too. And the Creator said all the bad that happens in the life of human beings come from ourselves. So we can't even blame the shaitan or the jinn, as you call him, or the devil, if you want to call him that. You can't blame him. Even in the Quran, on the day, Allah gives a description of the day of judgment. And he gives this description in the Quran. He said that when people say the devil or the jinn or Satan made me do wrong, Allah allowed the Satan to defend himself. And the Satan say, I couldn't make you do wrong because Allah didn't give me no power over you. You chose to follow the evil that I tempted you with. See, we have freedom of choice. So you can't blame nobody, not even another human being or a jinn, for the wrong you do, people. You are personally accountable to your Creator, because he gave you what? A limited freedom of choice to choose good from evil. And then he didn't leave you there. He gave you guidance in his revelations to guide you to the right and to expose to you the wrong and forbid you to stay away from all that is wrong. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. If I may, I'd like to continue and tell you about something that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said during his farewell pilgrimage that we already spoke about once before. In the farewell pilgrimage, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, be aware, Allah is one. No Arab has any superiority over a non-Arab. and no non-Arab has any superiority over an Arab, and no white one has any superiority over a black one, and no black one has any superiority over a white one, except on the basis of taqwa, piety. The most honorable among you in the sight of Allah is he who is the most pious and righteous of you. Say if I have conveyed the message to you. And the great congregation of the people responded, saying, yes, you have, O Messenger of Allah. Thereupon the Holy Prophet said, then let the one who is present convey it to those who are absent. So we have to tell people about this. Allah has a solution to racism. There's not supposed to be racism.
Yes.
And
that's
we
right.
have to stop that because it destroys nations of people one person at a time.
That's
in
right.
another hadith, the Prophet said, Allah will not inquire about your lineage on the day of resurrection. The most honorable in the sight of Allah is he who is most pious. In another hadith, he said, Allah does not see your outward appearance and your possessions, but he sees your heart and your deeds. This is from Muslim and Ibn Majah.
Yes.
These teachings have not remained confined to words only, but Islam practically established a universal brotherhood of believers on this basis, which does not allow any distinction on account of color, race, language, country, or nationality. A brotherhood and sisterhood which is free from every concept of high and low, clean and unclean, unkind and respectable, which admits all human beings with equal rights, whether they belong to any race and nation, any land or region. Even the opponents of Islam have had to admit that no precedent can be found in any religion or any system of the success with which the principle of human equality and unity has been given more practical shape than as in the Muslim society. Islam is the only religion which has welded together and combined innumerable races and communities scattered in all the corners of the earth into one universal Islamic community, a ummah. I had some friends who went to the funeral of the greatest, Muhammad Ali. And when you looked at that, the crowd of people that was there giving honor to the greatest man of our time, we saw that it looked like a rainbow of people were there from every color, every corner of the earth were at Muhammad Ali's funeral. And this is the way Islam is supposed to be. That is why the Islamic law... let me tell you something else. In the minds of some people, there's a misunderstanding which needs to be clarified as it relates to marriage. The importance that Islamic law gives to sameness of status in marriage has been taken out of context by some people in the sense that some brotherhoods are noble and some unkind, and matrimonial relations between them are objectionable. This, in fact, is a wrong idea. According to Islamic law, any Muslim man can marry any Muslim woman, but the success of the matrimonial life depends on maximum harmony and cooperation between the spouses as regards their habits, characteristics, ways of life, family traditions, and economic and social status. These things cause problems in some marriages, so that they may get along well with each other. The real object is being equal and alike. Where there is difference and inequality between the man and the woman in this regard, lifelong companionship will be difficult. So if you marry a woman who is from a higher rank than you, a higher class than you, she has certain traditions that she lives by, certain ways that she likes things done, and she likes to live in certain types of places, and you can't provide those things for her, this makes it difficult for you all to have a long-lasting, loving relationship. That's why the Islamic law disapproves of such intermarriages, and not for the reason that one of the spouses is noble and the other unkind, but for the reason that in case there is a clear and apparent difference and an increase in the status of one above the other, there will be a greater possibility of the failure of the matrimonial life if the marriage relationship is established. It is only known to Allah who is a man of high rank and who is inferior in respect of qualities and characteristics. The standards of high and low that people have set up on their own accord are not acceptable nor approved by Allah. Maybe that one who has been regarded as a man of high rank in the world is declared as the lowest of the low in the final judgment of Allah. And maybe the one who has been looked upon as a very low person here attains to a very high rank with Allah. The real importance is not of the honor and dishonor of the world, but of the honor and dishonor that one will receive from Allah. Therefore, what man should be most concerned about is that he should create in himself those real qualities and characteristics which make him worthy of honor in the sight of Allah. A lot of times we think that we're blessed by Allah because we're a billionaire. And we look down on people who are homeless, who can't afford to pay their bills. But the thing that we forget is that this life is a test. Some people are tested with riches beyond imagination. Others are tested by poverty. But it's a test. And the
That's
one
right.
who passes the test is the one who goes to Jannah. So if you're blessed with riches,
yes,
don't look down on somebody who's poor. It's your responsibility to help that person. Don't lend them
yes.
money that you know they can't pay back. Give it to them. When I was in Syria, I went to Jami'ul Mawiyin. This is a very ancient castle in Syria that had been at one time it contained the head of John the Baptist, they said. This is a legend. I don't know if it's true or not. But many people made pilgrimage there and many people believed it. And inside the courtyard of the mosque was a place called the Beit al-Mal, the house of wealth. And this is where people came to pay their zakat. And you have to be rich to pay zakat, because zakat is 2.5% of the money that you have had for more than a year. Not many people have that. And so here when we have Eid al-Fitr after Ramadan, people pay zakat al-Fitr, which is like $7 or $8 per person in your family. Well, this is not really zakat, because you have to be rich to pay zakat. And so we're told in the Quran about the jannatayn, the two jannahs.
1 minute. We have 1 minute.
Oh, I'm
well,
sorry.
Sister, you came on the air and let me and the brother know the time. Because you never came on and let us know the time, because the time is very important that we limit the time that we're speaking, so that if any others want to speak, they can speak. And that's very important. I just want to remind you
and you're
that time.
Thank you very much, yes, but it wasn't my control. I just thought you could hear. We have the voice coming over to remind us of a time, and I didn't realize it was this late that time had passed like this. So they are saying that we have so many seconds left. Now, I thought we should have more time than this, but obviously we don't. And this is why I had to let you know, because I didn't want us to get cut off.
Okay, well, we need to stress a lot, your prayer, to end the talk for today, because we don't have but a few seconds. And so we'll do that at this time. And we thank the Brother Imam of Atlanta for coming on today, because if he didn't come on today, Allah didn't bless him. Mostly I had been talking, and I like to, for others that's knowledgeable in this way of life, to speak also. Allah said he created us in pairs that we might receive instructions. So we received good instructions today, but we have to carry them out in order to get the desired results in a better world. So we say all praise is due to Allah, the God and the Barber, the Cherisher and Sustainer of the worlds. We give praise to you, Allah, for today blessing us to come on this show. We, Allah, ask you to forgive us of anything we may have said that was incorrect. That was from ourselves. And we ask you, Allah, to bless us to have only said what you would have had us said through your book, the Quran, and through the life example of your Prophet Muhammad and his sayings, prayers and peace be upon him. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, yes, we want to thank you. We do have other guests who did come on today, and I want to apologize to the guests for not giving them a chance to express themselves. Inshallah, if you come on next week, we will be sure we make the time that for you to also comment and join the show. That's what we want. We want to hear from you. We thank you for coming on, and we pray that you receive some information today that you can take back and share with others, and invite them also to join us next Sunday, same time, Eastern Standard Time, and that will be 12 o'clock p.m. Have a blessed day.
And listen, sister, would you answer my call? I'm going to call you after the show. I need to speak to you on something.
Sure, yes, sir, I will.
Okay, assalamu alaikum, and thank everybody for joining. Thank you.
We're your friends. Your friends. We're your neighbor. We're your neighbor. And we'll lend a
lifting hand.
And God save us. We're your friends.
Your friends.
We're your neighbor.
We're your neighbor.
Like we've all been conditioned by calendars and dates.
Won't you hear what I'm saying?
But there's no time,
no,
like the present,
no time
to give love,
to give love
and not hate.
Just give love.
And if we could just embrace our difference, always be something.
There'll always be something.
You know, each soul has its own goal, but to him, we all
and
must
be.
So why don't you give love?
We're friends.
We're God,
love. We're your neighbor.
And we
lend a hand.
That's my baby. God is our friend.
Yes, he is.